Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah, my dear respected brothers and elders. Once again, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's only through the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought us up here to His house. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the opportunity to perform Salah wa Jamaat. Said that if a person wishes to die as a Muslim, then that person should say Salah at such a place where the Azan is called out. That is the masjid. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us through His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such practices which are nothing but guidance through and through. And Salah wa Jamaat is one of them. If we have to start saying our Salah in our houses, then we'll be discarding the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And no sooner do we discard the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then we start going astray. Said in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such an environment was created that every person used to come to the masjid and perform his Salah wa Jamaat. Even that person who was sick, he also used to be brought to the masjid with the help of two people, and he also used to perform his Salah wa Jamaat. Even the munafiqin also, they also come and perform the Salah wa Jamaat in the masjid. Said that two people performing Salah wa Jamaat is like by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than four people saying the Salah individually. And similarly, four people saying the Salah wa Jamaat is like by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than eight people saying the Salah individually. And similarly, eight people saying the Salah wa Jamaat is like by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than 100 people saying the Salah individually. And we should be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After reading Salah wa Jamaat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the tawfiq so to sit over here a little while and make some fikr for his deen. The more a person will make shukr to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will increase him in his ni'mat of his. Say, once a person was making tawaf around the Kaaba and making one dua, Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel. Oh Allah, make me from amongst those people who are very few in number. So somebody asked him, that was the meaning of this dua. He said, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, wa qaleelun min ibadiyya shakur. And very few of Allah's slaves, they make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more we will thank Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will increase us in his ni'mat of his, in his bounties of his. So these gatherings in which we are sitting, these are no ordinary gatherings. These are very blessed, these are Mubarak gatherings. These are such gatherings that malaika, angels, they throng around gatherings like this. And the more we will sit in gatherings like this, then what will happen is that slowly, slowly the qualities of the malaika will start to rub onto us. And what is the quality of the malaika? Is that they do not disobey any of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end of these gatherings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah announces malaika that He has forgiven all our sins. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has changed all our sins into good deeds. From this we can see how kind and how merciful Allah is. Insan by nature, we are sinful. All the time we tend to do some wrong. But on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is most merciful, most forgiving. Allah looks for excuses to forgive us. And just by sitting and gathering like this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is forgiving all our minor sins. And daily, my dear respected brothers and elders, we have to thank Allah for all the favors that Allah has given us. Really, if a person has to try and count the favors of Allah, he will never be able to count the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest gift that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us all is this great gift of Iman. That is, believe in this kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the only time a person will realize the true value of Iman is when? The day a person's eyes close, the day a person leaves this world. Why? Because we know when a person leaves the world, then as far as the material things of the world is concerned, he won't take any of these things with him in the grave. But the only thing a person will take with him in the grave is what? Iman and Amal. And the only thing which will help a person on the day of judgment also is what? Iman and Amal. That is why there was one student, he told his ustad, I see in this world, different people, they love different things. Sometime a person might love his house, but tomorrow when he dies, that house doesn't come with him in the grave. Or sometime a person may love his wife, a person may love his car. Different people love different things. But I notice that the day when they die, all these things doesn't accompany them to the grave. But what I love is my good actions. Why? Because I know tomorrow when I die, this is the thing that will help me in the grave also, and this is the thing that will help me on the day of judgment. That's why this gift of Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it only to those people whom Allah loves. And the kuffar, this gift of Iman is such, we cannot attach any value to this gift of Iman. This, we see the kuffar on the day of judgment, said they will come before Allah, and what they will tell Allah, Ya Allah, now we have seen. Ya Allah, now we have heard. So Ya Allah, now you send us back to the world. Why? Now we will do some good actions. Now we will bring yakin, now we will bring belief in you. But Allah will say, never, now it's too late. On that day, on the day of judgment, say the kuffar, they will be ready to present before Allah, not one room full of gold. In our eyes, one room full of gold has got so much of value. But the kuffar, they will be ready to present before Allah, the whole world full of gold. And they will tell Allah back in exchange for all this gold, to save them all from the fire of Jahannam. But all the gold on that day won't have value. But what will have value on that day is what? This is kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. As I said, the last person to enter into Jannah, he will get a Jannah 10 times the size of this world. So we see the material things of this world, my dear respected brothers and elders. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it both to the Muslims and to the non-Muslims. But this gift of Iman, Allah Pak only gives it to those people whom Allah loves. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah loved us all, Allah gave us Iman. Now the greatest thing, how we can make an effort, how we can die with iman. You see, on the day of judgment, two people will come before Allah. One is that person who in this dunya, he enjoyed all the luxuries and comforts of this world. But this person does not have this gift of iman. And this person will be brought before Allah and say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take this person and dip him into Jahannam just for one moment and then take him out. And then the question will be put forth to him, that do you remember undergoing any benefits in this world? So just by spending that one moment in Jahannam, this person will forget about all the benefits which Allah went in this world. And this person will take a qasam upon Allah that no, he does not remember undergoing any benefits at all in this world. And on the other hand, another person will be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Said that this person over here in this dunya, he underwent a lot of difficulties, a lot of hardships. His roof could have been the sky above him. His pillow could have been a brick. His blanket could have been a piece of cardboard. But this person over here had this gift of iman. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take this person over here and dip him into Jannah just for one moment and then take him out. And then the question will be put forth to him that do you remember undergoing any difficulties or any hardships in this world? So just by spending that one moment in Jannah, this person over here will forget about all the difficulties and hardships which he underwent in this world. And this person will take a qasam upon Allah that no, he does not remember undergoing any difficulties or any hardships in this world. So my dear respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah loved us, Allah gave us iman. Now the greatest thing, how we can make an effort, how we can die with iman. Today we are reciting kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, but today the kalima is only on the tongue. And the place for this iman is where the heart. Why? Because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in hadith some effect that there is a piece of flesh in the body, and if that piece of flesh is correct, then all the actions that will come out from the body also be correct. And if that piece of flesh is incorrect, then all the actions which will come out from the body also be incorrect. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said three times that this is the heart, this is the heart, this is the heart. So we have to make an effort that how this iman can enter into the deep recesses of this heart of ours. They say that the distance from the tongue to the heart is a very short distance, is a one span distance. But the effort for this iman is lifespan. Continuously till the day we die, we have to make an effort that how this iman, how this kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah can enter into the deep recess of this heart of ours. And ulama ikram tell us that how this iman is going to come inside this heart, is that every day, wherever we are, we have to keep on speaking about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, Haji Bayyab al-Habsah, one time in one bayan of his, more than 200 times he said the same thing. Allah se hota hai, makhluk se kuch nahi hota hai. Allah is doing and creation cannot do anything without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after bayan was complete, somebody went to tell him and told him, Haji Sahab, the same statement you said it more than 200 times. He said, even that 200 times, what I said, even that of there is not enough. Maybe if I say 1,000 times, 2,000, maybe one time might enter into my heart. That's why continuously we have to give this doubt to ourselves. We have to continuously remind ourselves that Allah is the one. Allah does everything without the help of the entire creation. And the entire creation put together cannot do anything without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said that to speak about the greatness of the creation, that this over here is a sickness, and the cure to the sickness is that we have to speak about Allah's greatness. We see, my dear respected brothers and elders, in this dunya, in this world, because all the time we're speaking about the greatness of the creation, that is why we have understood its greatness. That is why, say, if you bring a lion over here by the door, then what will happen? We always start running. Why? We have understood the greatness of the lion. But today a person hasn't understood that who is the creator of the lion, who is the creator of the crocodile, who is the creator of everything. A person hasn't recognized who Allah is. That's why today we see people are running away from Allah. But really, if a person has to recognize who Allah is, then a person won't run away from Allah. But rather, a person will start running towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because if a person has got Allah in his life, then that person of there has got everything. On the other hand, a person can have all the material things of this world, but a person doesn't have Allah in his life, that person of there has got nothing. So every day, my dear respected brothers and elders, we have to give dawah towards Allah's greatness. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is the one. Allah does everything without the help of the entire creation. And the entire creation put together cannot do anything without the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is khaliq. Allah is our creator. And everything else we see around us is makhluk. Everything else is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created everything from nothing. He said there was no sky. Allah alone, by his qudrat, by his power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the sky into existence. There was no earth, no rivers, no mountains, no ocean, nothing there was. Allah is the one who by his qudrat and by his power, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought everything into existence. There wasn't a droplet of water. Allah is the one, Allah brought the rivers, Allah brought the oceans into existence. There wasn't a particle of grass. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the forest into existence. There wasn't a particle of sand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the deserts into existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has created everything from nothing. And after creating everything, Allah is the one who is in total control over everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is the king of all kings. Allah grants kingdom to whom he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away kingdom from whom he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grants honor to whom he wants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who disgraces whom he wants. We see Yusuf alayhi salam, how from the bottom of the well, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone who granted him izzat, Allah granted him honor, Allah made him the king of Egypt. And the other hand, the person who claimed to be Allah, Fir'aun, how from the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, Fir'aun, Allah, how Allah disgraced him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who claimed to be Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the king of Egypt, Allah took him and drowned him in the sea. That's why honor in the hands of Allah, disgrace in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, happiness in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sadness in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sickness in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and good health also, this also in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see today, my dear respected brothers and elders, because of weakness of iman, when a person is sick, then the first thing what he thinks about is, a person got a headache, then what's the first thing he thinks about is? Grandpa. And if the grandpa is not working, then what he's doing? Where he's running? He's running to the doctor. And if the doctor is not working, where he's running? He's running to the hospital, going by some specialist. And if he's failing, there where he's going on by one Maulana for Tawiz. And if he's failing, last in the end, he might read 2 rakats of namaz. But we see this Sahaba Ikram, whenever they face any difficulties, any problems, what's the first thing they did? Immediately they turned their attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately they read 2 rakats of namaz. So my dear respected brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants iman, wants us to bring iman. What type of iman Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to bring iman like how Sahaba Ikram brought iman. So we see Sahaba Ikram, they made effort on this iman of this. They say, what's the difference between our iman and iman of Sahaba Ikram? Say a person got 100 rand and a person got 100 million rand. Both is money. But what's the difference with 100 rand? Maybe I can buy 2 or 3 Magnum ice cream. But 100 million rand, I can buy the Magnum ice cream factory and I can supply everybody else with Magnum ice cream. That's why this is the difference between our iman and iman of Sahaba Ikram. That's why we see Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, once the Sahabi was lying down in the masjid of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, "Oh Harisa, how did you wake up this morning?" What Harisa radiallahu anhu said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I woke up this morning in a state of perfect iman." So what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Oh Harisa, for every statement of yours, there's a proof. What is the proof of your statement?" What's the first thing he says? Oh Nabi of Allah, in my heart, I've got no, something in fact that I've got no inclination for this world. I spend my day in fasting. I spend my night in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As if I can see the arsh of Allah before me. And as if I can see the people of Jannat, that how they're enjoying themselves in Jannat. And as if I can see the people of Jahannam, that how they are suffering in Jahannam. So what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells him, something in fact, that, oh Harisa, you are such a mu'min whose heart has been enlightened with the nur of iman. So remain steadfast on this level of iman. So this is the level of iman that we have to make an effort to try and reach, to worship Allah as if we are seeing Allah before us. And if this is not possible, then for us to realize all the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is watching us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is with us all the time. So every day we have to speak about Allah's greatness, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is Hafiz, Allah is our protector. If Allah wants to protect us, no one can harm us. And on the other hand, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to harm us, then nobody will be able to protect us. We see how Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him in the cave. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to protect him? Allah used the weakest of Allah used the spider's web. Allah used the spider's web. Allah used the pigeon's egg to protect. Allah used the weak creation to protect the best of Allah's creation. Allah used one of the weakest creation. The kuffar, when they came by the mouth of the cave, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was getting worried. But when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Oh Abu Bakr, do not fear. Allah is with us." So Musa alayhi salam, when he came by the in front of the ocean, and then when the army of Firaun was in the back and the ocean was in front. And now the people of Musa alayhi salam, what they told him, "Oh Musa, now we are destroyed." But when Musa alayhi salam said, "Never, Allah is with me." That's why the one who is giving da'wat, Allah is with that person. And when Musa alayhi salam said, "Allah is with me," then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Musa alayhi salam, "Now take your stick and hit the ocean." So Musa alayhi salam never used intelligence. But what he did, he obeyed the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Intelligence, if a person has used intelligence, say, "Well, it doesn't make sense to take the stick and hit the water. Better I take the stick and hit the head of Firaun, this way it makes sense. But when I hit the water, it doesn't make sense." But what he did, when he obeyed the command of Allah, we see what Allah did. Allah opened 12 pathways in the ocean. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Verily I am Allah. There is no one worthy of worship besides me. And one who acknowledges the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person of there will enter into the forces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And said that person of there will enter into the forces of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person of there also will be saved from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so long as there is one person on the surface of this earth, my dear respected brothers and elders, taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep this entire earth in existence. But no sooner there is no one to take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will destroy this world. And my dear respected brothers and elders, we see the material things of this world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to both to the Muslims and to the non-Muslims. But iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives it to those people whom Allah loves. So Allah gave us iman, now we have to make an effort how we can die with iman. And you see, today in this dunya, my dear respected brothers and elders, everybody in this world, everybody is looking for success. And different people have got different criteria for success. Today man thinks, if I'm the president of a country, then I'm successful. Or a person thinks that if I've got a lot of wealth, then I'm successful. But really, these are not the real criteria for success. Why? Because if wealth was a criteria for success, then we see a person like Qarun, he would have been successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If being the president of a country was a criteria for success, then Firaun and Namrud, these people over here, they would have all been successful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But you see that all these people over here, they were unsuccessful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Real success lies only in following the commands of Allah, in the way shown to us by Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only if you follow that way of life, then only you will be successful. And any other way, any other lifestyle you follow, will be unsuccessful. You see, Sahaba Ikram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them successful on the surface of earth. Why? Because which way of life they followed? They followed the way of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, that if we love Allah, then what we must do? We have to follow which way of life? We have to follow the way of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Allah himself, Allah will love us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will forgive all our sins. Sahaba Ikram, when they conquered Baytul Muqaddas, then what Umar radiallahu anhu told Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, in fact, that today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah made us victorious. Why? Because we have followed which way of life? We have followed the way of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why just like how Allah's help us with Sahaba Ikram, Allah's help also will be with us. But in order for us to get the help of Allah, what we have to do? We have to follow which way of life? We have to follow the way of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every aspect of his life, how he was eating, how he was sleeping. If we bring, the more sunnahs we bring in our life, then the more closer we'll come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why you see, Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he told Hazrat Sheikh Rahmatullah Ali, that if a person wants to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he needs to do? He needs to bring sunnah in his life. Then a person will come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Sahaba Ikram, just like how Allah's help us with Sahaba, Allah's help also will be with us. But in order for us to get the help of Allah, what we have to do? We have to follow the way of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sahaba Ikram, they were fighting in one battlefield, and they were not gaining victory over the enemy. And the Amir of the Jamaat, he gathers the Jamaat together, and he asks, which sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is lacking from our life? And no sunnah, what they realized, not practicing on the sunnah of Miswak. The moment they started practicing on the sunnah of Miswak, then what the kuffar said, now looks like these people, they are sharpening the teeth, and looks like they are going to come and eat us up. And immediately they ran away from the battle. That's why he said that one sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is more powerful than all the atom bombs of this world. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that this is something to the effect that if a person can keep his heart free from any ill will, any malice and any ill will towards anyone, then he should do so. Why? Because verily this is from amongst my sunnah. And indeed the one who loves my sunnah, indeed he loves me. And the one who loves me, he'll be together with me in Jannat. That's why every time a person sends one durood upon Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 10 virtues added to his account, 10 of his sins being forgiven, and 10 times his stages being elevated in the year after. And you see, my dear respected brothers and elders, the first command of Allah after Iman was what? Salah. And the first thing which we all be reckoned for on Day of Judgment will be about our Salah. I say the position of Salah is like the position of the head in the body. Sometime in this dunya, sometime in the world, we find a person without no hands. Sometime in the world, you find a person without no legs. But nowhere in the world, you will find a person without no head. So if a person doesn't have a head, that means a person is dead. Like this also, Salah in Islam is like the head in the body. You see, today, because of weakness of Iman, every person knows you must read 5 times daily Salah. But today, because of weakness of Iman, that's why a person is hearing the Azan, but a person is not coming towards the Masjid. So today, one person mentioned that Iman which can't take us to the Masjid, today our Iman has gone so weak, it can't even take us to the Masjid. How we expect this Iman of ours to take us to Jannah? Today, because of weakness of Iman, if you ask a person, any person, by sahab, you read Jummah namaz, he'd say, how can you ask me this question like this? Definitely, I am a Muslim. I have to read Jummah namaz. But the same person, he's a little bit softer voice, you ask him, are you going to read Asar namaz? He'd say, make dua. So every person knows he must read Salah, but because of weakness of Iman, people are not coming to the Masjid to read Salah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in Hadith, they perform Salah like how you have seen me perform my Salah. That's why in order for us to perform our Salah correctly also, we have to acquire the knowledge of Deen. He said that person who goes out to seek the knowledge of Deen, then all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it be the birds in the sky or the fish in the ocean, all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make dua maghfirah for that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah eases the way to Jannah for that person who goes to seek knowledge. And one is to have the knowledge of Deen, but more important, whatever knowledge we have, we should try and practice upon the knowledge that we have. In this way, what will happen? We'll be in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, it says, everything has got a polish, and the polish of the heart is what? Is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person making the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a living person. And a person who does not make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like a dead person. That's why daily, my dear respected brothers and elders, we have to take out time for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person remembers Allah, Allah says, remember me, I will remember you. We are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in gathering like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembering us where? In a better, in a nobler gathering, that is the gathering of the Malaika. That's why daily, my dear respected brothers and elders, we have to take out time for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala daily. Our elders tell us we have to take out time for the recitation of the Quran. For Allah amongst the people, some people are very, very special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who are those people? They are the men of the Quran. That's why we have to become the men of Quran. Not in the month of Ramadan, we must open the Quran. But throughout the year, we have to make an effort that how we can try and take out time daily for the recitation of the Quran. And daily we have to take out time to complete our tasbihah, third kalima 100 times, durood sharif 100 times, and istighfar 100 times. And today in this world we see, my dear respected brothers and elders, everybody is worried about their rights. But you see, if each and every person, if we have to forego our rights, then what will happen? Automatically, everybody's rights will be fulfilled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, we live at deen and to piety, unless we love for ourselves what we love for others. And whatever action we are doing, my dear respected brothers and elders, we have to keep on checking our intention, for whose sake am I doing it? A person can give a date in the path of Allah for the pleasure of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him mountains of rewards. And on the other hand, a person can give mountains of gold in the path of Allah for the sake of name and fame, he won't get any reward, but in fact he will be taken to task for it. So they say, do every action for Allah's pleasure, Allah will reward us inshallah from his treasures. Say, before we do any action, check the intention. Whilst we're doing the action also, check the intention. And even after we do the action also, keep on checking the intention. For whose sake am I doing the action? Am I doing it for the pleasure of Allah? Or am I doing it for the sake of name and fame? Mu'ayyid Yunus Patel Rahmatullah always give the example. He say, a person goes for Hajj. Maybe a person performed 3 Hajj or 5 Hajj. And sometime when a person goes to visit that person, what that person say, bring the Zamzam water from the 5th Hajj. Or bring the Zamzam water of mine from the 7th Hajj. He say, what's the need for you to go tell the people how many Hajj you did? What's the need for you to tell the people how many form Hajj you did? All this over here we do for whose pleasure? We do for Allah's sake, inshallah. The more we do for Allah's pleasure, inshallah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will reward us from his treasures. And my dear respected brothers and elders, we all have to realize and understand, nothing belongs to us. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This health, wealth and time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, it is an amanat, a trust from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to use it for the upliftment of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, my dear respected brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us all down this dunya for a very, very short time. Everybody sitting over here, we all know our birthday, but nobody knows the dead day. The reality, my dear respected brothers and elders, we have come in this world. No one came in the world to live, but we all came in the world to die. But today we can see throughout the world, everybody's making effort for what? We all make effort for living. But today, very few people are making effort for dying. So what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who's a clever person? He never said doctor is a clever person. He never said the lawyer is a clever person. But he said, who's a clever person? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the clever person is who? The one who's making preparation for his life. The one who's making preparation for death before his death. And so our stay in this dunya in comparison to akhirah is very, very short. Like that person who goes in front of the ocean, and then he takes his finger and dips in the ocean and lifts up the finger. How much water stays on the finger? It's just one drop. And the vast ocean, what we see ahead of us, that's our stay in the akhirat forever and ever. That's why today we're all giving preference to which life? We are giving preference to the dunya over the akhirat. Why? Because with our eyes, we have seen the benefit of dunya. But today, because we have forgotten to speak about akhirat, that's why the yakin of akhirat is not there in front of us. You know, a small child, if you have a lollipop in one hand, and if you have ₹1,000,000 in the other hand, what the child is going for? He's going for the lollipop. Why? He has understood the value of the lollipop. But today he has forgot. Like this also, today we are giving preference to dunya by, because with our eyes we have seen the benefits of dunya. But akhirat, we are thinking it's something very, very far away. That's why, you know, we make dua, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana, ya Allah, give us good in this world. Or fil akhirah, we think akhirah is something very, very far away. Allah says in the Quran, you see there's something very, very far. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah says it's very, very close. So we have to prepare for the real life of akhirah. We have to prepare also, and as ummatis of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to make the whole ummah also prepare for that life, for the life of akhirah. You see, my dear respected brothers and elders, if I say subhanallah myself, Allah would give me one tree in Jannah. But if I tell all the people sitting over here to say subhanallah, so how many trees Allah is going to give me in Jannah? That's why this is the power of da'wat. Whatever good we will tell others to do, who will get the reward? I will get the reward. That's why this is the real investment. We need to invest where? We have to invest in Allah's bank. And the time to make the investment is not after we die, but before we die. In Urdu they say, jab tak saans hai, chance hai. As long as we got breath, we got a chance. The shaitan, you see, he's our, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, shaitan is your enemy, so treat him like your enemy. Shaitan doesn't tell a person, don't do good. But shaitan, what he tells you, don't start today, start tomorrow. Shaitan says, no, you must go for 3 days, must go 40 days, must go 4 months. But don't start today, start tomorrow. But then you've got no guarantee for life. As long as we've got life, we've got a chance. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us down this dunya very, very short time. So in the short time, we have to prepare for the real life, life of akhirat. We have to prepare also, and as ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have to make the whole ummat also prepare for that life. Allah's promises, Allah says, if we help the deen of Allah, Allah's help will be with us. We see, in this deen of Islam, my dear respected brothers and elders, it never come to us just like this. It came to us a lot of qurban, a lot of sacrifice. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he underwent so much of sacrifice for the sake of this deen. We all know the famous incident of Taif. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was pelted to such an extent that his Mubarak blood was clogged on his shoes, but yet when the Malaika of the mountain came and told that if he wanted they could destroy the people of Taif, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never cursed those people. What he made dua? That if they did not accept the message, somebody from the progeny will accept the message. So this was the worry and the concern of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that how every person could be saved from the fire of Jahannam, and how every person could be entered Jannah. And we all know Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the last messenger, no other Nabi to come after him. So this responsibility of inviting every person towards the Kalima La ilaha illallah lies on the shoulders of the ummah of Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You know, on the plains of Hajjatul Wida, he said, Sahaba Ikram, more than 124,000 Sahaba Ikram were there present. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told them that those of you who are present of here must take this message of La ilaha illallah. to those who are not present over here. So that's why Sahaba Ikram, we see, my dear respected brothers and elders, they understood the responsibility. That is why what they left. They left the Mubarak lands of Makkah and Medina. Imagine a person reading one Sarah in Makkah, 100,000 reward. One Sarah in Medina, Sharif, 50,000 reward. But Sahaba Ikram, they left the Mubarak lands of Makkah and Medina, and they strove out throughout the four corners of the world. So Islam came to us with Qurbani, with sacrifice. And Ulama Ikram tell us for this deen of Islam to remain in our lives also. And for deen of Islam to remain the lives of the people to come to the day of judgment, we also have to give some sacrifice in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said this work is not a 40 days effort, not a 4 months effort, but this work inshallah, we should all make intention inshallah, that how I want to do this work of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam till the day we die inshallah. Say Haji Bayabul Afsa, when you should make tashkeed, you shouldn't make tashkeed for 4 months or for 1 year, but what tashkeed you make, that who inshallah will make intention inshallah to make the work of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam his work inshallah. So we all make this intention inshallah to make the work of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam work inshallah. All try and do this inshallah. Now also inshallah, a very Mubarak time inshallah, after Asr, between Asr and Maghrib inshallah, a person takes out time for the zikr of Allah, a little while in the morning or a little while in the evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will suffice for that person during the intervening periods. So we also now we should try and complete our tasbih, recite the Durood Sharif 100 times, Istighfar 100 times, and Third Kalima 100 times also inshallah. And make lots of dua inshallah, at the time when duas are accepted also inshallah. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka.